All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're beginning a new series of messages that I believe are going to be very profound, far-reaching to every one of us. In fact, I would be as bold to say that, we can picture ourselves. You know, the Bible says that our houses, in Matthew 7, that Jesus said our lives are like houses. That there are wise builders who listen to the sayings of Jesus, put them into practice, and they understand the sayings, and then they put them into practice. And there are foolish builders who listen to the sayings, understand them, but for whatever reason, they choose not to put them into practice. Jesus said that their houses, their lives will come crashing down if they're not doers of the word. Amen? And so our houses, our lives rather, are like houses. And so I want you to picture this series as the Lord taking us. How many of us know we have several rooms to our house? And who has a closet full of junk that you'd rather not open the door to because it is full of clutter and cobwebs? And can I get a witness in the house? Thank you, I do. And I just rather not fiddle with it. But you know, in our emotional recesses of our being, we also have those closets where there's a lot of baggage, there's a lot of junk, there's a lot of stored memories that are hurtful, that still sting to this day. And so what I want the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to do through this series is to take us to those doors and eventually open them and let the Lord do some healing in that place in your life. Now, let me say here, I'm not asking you to open the door today. Might not even ask you next week. But throughout the course of this series, I believe the Lord, the Father, wants to show His love to us in ways that for years and years and years, number one, we were not aware that He could. Number two, that He wants to manifest in our lives. Does that sound good enough for all of us? All right, at no extra offering. Man, you guys are good. John, 1 John chapter 3, let me get my spectacles out of my coat. 1 John 3, we're going to read one verse of scripture. Verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You, God, for the blessing of sonship through Christ. And Father, that's what we'll seek to explore. We ask that You would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to this reality. And Holy Spirit, we welcome Your presence to do Your work, Lord, to heal and to soothe and to just smother Your people with Your love, Your loving kindness, Your gentleness, God. We thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like for you guys to look up at the screen. There's a little photo that my middle daughter, Carissa, took. Not this one. This is the new series name, is Sonship. There you go. Okay, to the far right, those are the shoes of my son-in-law. Next to his shoes are the shoes of my firstborn grandson, Conry. Next to his shoes are the shoes of his little brother, Remus. Don't ask me why my daughter named them that way. They didn't consult with me. If it would have been my idea, it would have been Joe, you know, but we'll leave that alone for now. She posted this on social media and she entitled it, Sonship, a Visual Aid. Sonship, a visual aid. Now, that photo is so loaded, and what I'm going to be sharing with you in the coming weeks is so loaded that I cannot possibly explain what that understanding represents in 1 week. It'll take me a couple of weeks to do it, to unpack all of it. Now, let me ask you a question to begin with. How important are godly fathers in the home to our society? Very important. I'm sure I don't need to ask if we all agree that one of the major problems in the culture today is fatherlessness. Right? I mean, thank God for mothers. Thank God for all the single moms that are raising their kids on their own. My goodness, God bless you. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And thank God for them. But there's something pivotal to having a man in, listen carefully, in a young man's life, in his son's lives, and also in his daughter's life. It is crucial to their identity. It is crucial to their self-worth and their self-concept. It's not good grades that make a kid feel secure. It's not social acceptance. It's not being popular in certain circles with other peers. It is having for themselves the love of their earthly father, the loving attention of their earthly father, the loving affirmation of their earthly father, and appropriate physical touch. Amen. Do you feel me this morning, church family? If you want those kids to succeed, you have a very engaged, loving father plugged in and tuned in to his kids' lives. If you don't want him to succeed, as happens many times and in many homes, the father goes on world tour, he donates a sperm to a chick, knocks her up, pardon my colloquialisms, knocks her up, and he goes on world tour, his whereabouts known only to God. But that's what happens in our society. And then we cry out, where are the fathers? Don't you think it breaks the heart of our Heavenly Father when he sees all of these earthly fathers abdicating their responsibility, abdicating their role as, can I go old school? Well, I shouldn't even ask that in this church. I'm going to go old school. As the head of the house, right? Don't worry, ladies, you're the neck that turns the head. A lot of the crime we see in society today is due to fatherlessness. A lot of the gang banging. Did you know that gang bangers, people, the people most vulnerable, the kids most vulnerable to going into gangs are those that come out of broken homes that did not have a dad present in the house? And if he was present physically, he was detached emotionally. He hid behind the newspaper. Didn't engage the kids. Maybe said happy birthday and that was it. Maybe Merry Christmas and that was it. But there was no interaction. There was no demonstration of love. There was no demonstration of affirmation. Now, I'm not going to go in the negative vein that I'm touching on right now, church family. I just want us to have a common understanding, and I'm sure you agree with me as much as I'm preaching it this morning, that is one of the key problems in our society, is fatherlessness. Can I get a witness again, please? Thank you. Now, notice the Father, the Heavenly Father, enters the picture. The scripture we read, behold, what manner of love is it that the Father would call us His children? Don't you think that having a Heavenly Father, more than just using those words to begin a prayer with, that having a Heavenly Father and our understanding of how loving He is and what a sense of belonging He gives us by adopting us into sonship, accepting us as sons and daughters because we have accepted the gift of the cross of Jesus Christ and forgiveness and salvation and all that came with it, that impacts our lives positively, even as fatherlessness impacts the lives of many, many kids negatively. See, sonship has more to do with that, more than just theology. Sonship will impact us as men to the core of our identity. Can I pursue this thought? I once heard, I used to go to Promise Keepers. I know you did too, Brother Lau. One of the speakers said, when does a man become a man? How many of us know that there in different cultures, in the Jewish culture, you have the bar mitzvah. At age 13, every boy becomes a man. They have a clear-cut rite of passage from childhood into manhood. And so after their bar mitzvah, they're no longer considered, you know, junior. They're no longer called junior. Now they're called by their formal name, and they're considered to be men. Now, in our culture, we have a lot of unspoken rites of passage. If you take the honor of a woman, then you become a man. Is that true, church family? I'm trying to be as polite as I possibly can. No, that does not make you a man. We are born, men are born male by gender, but we become men by choice. And so, following this train of thought then, about manhood and the importance of what it means to be a man, one of the Promise Keepers speakers quoted Burt Reynolds. He said, Burt Reynolds was once asked, when does a man become a man? And Burt Reynolds said, when his father tells him he is a man. Can you beat that answer? I can't. I cannot beat that answer. My earthly dad didn't ever tell me that, but my father-in-law told me at the age of 24, I'll never forget it. I was serving in Farmington, New Mexico, the Four Corners area. He was visiting me and Gabby's mom, he and his wife, my mother-in-law. And he had heard me minister that Sunday because the pastor wanted, I was assistant pastor of a church, and he asked me to minister, and my dad pulled me aside after the meal, after church service, and he said, Joe, you have become a man. And I've never, never, never forgotten that. But how many young men don't have a grounded man, a godly man, speaking fatherhood into their lives, and so they're out wandering like wild horses? It's getting very serious. Do I need to crack a joke? Do you see what I'm talking about, church family? Do you see the necessity that having a father is more than just having another warm body to provide a roof and provide a paycheck and provide allowance and maybe instill a little discipline in us? It cuts to our very identity. You know, I struggle with sonship because, you know, I've shared enough about my dad and his situation, and he didn't know the Lord. And that's all I'll say about that. But I struggled in my teenage years because I craved a man to tell me what every young man wants to hear. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. You can do it. I'm behind you. I support you. Can I get a witness, man? Amen. Amen. I craved that. And it wasn't until my father-in-law came into the picture that he filled that role, and he filled my soul, my desperately parched soul, for a godly father figure in my life. Can we talk, ladies? Ladies, let me talk to you. You will believe you're beautiful because your father told you you are beautiful. Some of you guys were blessed. Some of you ladies, not guys, were blessed to have a father that said, man, I believe in you. You know, when my girls were young, all three of them, I called all of them pretty girls. Oh, you're so pretty. You're so beautiful. You know what they call their kids? Well, at least my middle daughter calls her daughter. You're a pretty girl. You're a pretty girl. Well, you grow up hearing that all your life. What's that girl going to think when she's an adult? I'm beautiful. Because my mom says it, but also my dad says it. How important is the influence of a father? Man, I'm not even getting to the message. Do you realize that science says that a woman will develop faster physically if she does not have a father in the home? She will develop biologically much faster than if she had a man in the home. How important is sonship? It cuts to the core of our very heart, of our very identity. Oh, gosh. I didn't even get to the message. Is that okay, everybody? Still like me? Still love me? No, nobody still likes me. Nobody still loves me. We'll just have to carry this on, make a little an extra week longer series. But do you see the potential of this, church family? Do we see that we're not just talking about words that we use for God at the beginning of a prayer? We're not saying it'd be nice to have a man. Pastor Joe, I don't have a man in my life. Can you pray for someone that God bring you a godly man to be a godly example, a father figure, to speak life and affirmation and speak goodness and speak promise and potential? You will shape the destinies. Listen carefully, church family. We will shape if men step up and we say, you know, I've raised my kids, but man, I'm going to be an example to my grandkids. And if some other people need an example, I will be an example to their kids. And I will speak affirmation. You know, I do it with Cynthia's daughters. I do. I said, man, you're very pretty. You know, and Cynthia once asked me, she said, why do you do that? I said, Cynthia, every woman needs a godly man to speak words of affirmation to their soul. Women crave that. Why do you think women run around and try to find something in a man, but the man's not able to give it to her? Because they're looking for a father figure. I mean, our society's gone overboard. I'll ask the young people, you can say amen if you want to, or you can nod your head. How many girls have resorted to making money by being a sugar baby? You know what a sugar baby is? Young, beautiful girl, or as Michael Jackson used to call them, don't edit this out, Miss Sheila, pretty young thing, PYT, am I right, Terry? That will go to an older man to make money. Or why is it the trend now that a lot of younger gals are hitching up with guys twice their age? Listen, there's a necessity for fatherhood, church family. Gosh, I was not anticipating going this route, but how many of y'all would say, let's hear the truth this morning? How many of y'all know you're not going to hear this on Oprah? You're not going to hear this on CNN. You're going to hear the Word of God, and you're going to hear the truth spoken in church. We have a need for fatherhood. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. We're going to take up where we leave off next week, okay? But here's the thought. When there has been no father present, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, the Heavenly Father can step in and be a father to them. Turn with me. Let's close on this scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Now, the context here was Paul the Apostle was quoting from Scripture, and he was addressing the Corinthians, a church in crisis, a church that had all kinds of chaos in it, and he was specifically dealing with idolatry and the temple and idols. And so against that backdrop, but listen to the words and let's apply them to us. Notice here verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will do what? I, the Father, will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a what to you? I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. You love us so much, God. And Father, there is so much to sonship that we need to plumb and explore and understand, Father. Lord God, help us to understand that at the very core of our being, that we are truly your children, and it is due to the manner of love that you have bestowed upon us, that you would even give us the privilege of calling you Father, and you turning around and calling us sons and daughters of the Almighty. Holy Spirit, help us with this understanding. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.